Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, I'm Greg Hill, and this is The Greg Hill Show, where Boston sports and real talk collide.
I'm Courtney Cox. Along with Wiggy, we break down everything from the Patriots and Celtics to Sox, Bruins, and the stories that have the whole city talking.
Yo, you'll get bold takes, big guests, breaking news, and trust me, we ain't afraid to stir it up.
We've got every Boston sports angle covered.
Follow and listen to The Greg Hill Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes drop every weekday.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, let's go play Tessie, episode 277. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, hit that subscribe button. Follow us on all the socials, at Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You know the drill. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. We've also got a special guest for you guys. It's Hogdale. We've been excited about this one. We are big Hogdale stands on this account. As your journey to Barstool, which we'll talk about it. But when that was happening, that happened live while we were recording, and none of us could, like, we were just all so happy. Like, it's like you come to Boston, and I guess we could start there with your trip to Boston, but you come to Boston, you get so much love. Like, okay, for people who don't know, Hogdale, how long after you got to Boston did we get drinks at the bullpen?
I mean, it would have been like the second day I was in Boston, I'm pretty sure, because I had definitely. It's all such a haze because it's all just such like blended together. But like, I'm pretty sure it would have been like the first or second day. Like I was in town for sure.
I remember talking to your mom and she said, or no, I said, there's one universal thing with like Red Sox fans disagree on everything. Like you got like the one side and the other side. It's like the Dr. Jims and whatever those people on one side. And then the real people on the other. But the one thing everyone agrees on is that Hogdale is great. And she kept talking about like Reddit. And I was like, I told her, do not listen to Reddit. Reddit is like 0.0001%. Like the other 99.999% loves Hogdale. And I think you got maybe a little bit more of a taste for that than maybe you knew you were going to get on your trip to Boston. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, dude, it was crazy. Like, just the sheer amount of people, like, who came up and said hi to me, you know. It's like, oh, can you shake my hand or take a picture? Like, I genuinely think it was hundreds. It was insane. It was every couple minutes I was getting recognized.
Were you surprised, or did you expect to get, you know, I'm sure you expected to see people you knew and had a few people be like, hey, I like your content. But to that level, was it jarring at all?
I expected to get recognized a little bit. I did not expect to get recognized as much as I did, because like, it happened as soon as I pulled up. Like, I went to go take the Fenway tour, like, with my family, and the dude at the ticket box is like, oh, you're Hogdale. Like, as soon as I pulled up, like, yeah, man, what's up? How you doing? The girl who was leading the tour, she's like, I follow you on Twitter. And like, it's everyone around there.
What did your mom and grandmother think about you getting recognized?
Oh, they were just so happy. They were just so thrilled for me. They couldn't believe it. Like, honestly, they were very caught off guard. I mean, definitely more caught off guard than I was. I knew I was going to get probably, you know, pulled over a couple times. But like, dude, like, literally every 5 seconds walking around the park, I hear someone, you know, shout, oh my, like, hey, Hogdale, what's up? Or just shake a hand, take a picture. It was awesome.
I probably should have asked this already. I feel like a lot of people who don't know you well think you are from Boston or New England at least. Can you explain where you are actually from for the people who aren't aware already?
Yes. And how you became a fan.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, this is definitely a question that I have never answered ever. Definitely also not on every stream I've ever done in the history of humanity. But well guarded secret kept at gunpoint. I'm from Iowa.
Like, whoa!
Shit. Like, what? Yeah, I'm from Iowa. I grew up in the United State of Iowa. And I'm a Red Sox. I became a Red Sox fan and a Patriots fan. My dad's from Rockland. He's from Rockland, Mass.
Oh, good.
How did he get to Iowa?
I think it's he moved out like with his mom, because like, she like married like his stepdad at the time, and like, he ended up in Iowa there, like, from when he was like 17 onwards. You never really choose to end up in Iowa. You just life just kind of takes you here, and then, you know,
you just spawn in Des Moines, then you kind of find an open house.
Yes.
Hogdale, your dad's from the town next to me.
Oh, really?
That's sick.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat, you got to go to Hogdale's dad's like childhood home.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad actually took me around there last time I was, or the first time I was in Boston.
So the day that you were in Boston, you guys got drinks. I had a very different experience of this day, because I was at work. So I'm at work. Sammy Gordo texts me, getting drinks with Hogdale, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm at work. So every time I looked at my phone, I was getting updates from Sammy. Met Hogdale, blah, blah, blah. I look at a picture. I'm like, holy shit, Hogdale is so tall.
Yeah.
The players make Sammy and Gordo look like fourth graders. It was about that level. And I was like, holy shit. So then, whatever, lock my phone, go. And then I think I was working late that day, and I opened my phone before the game, and it was like, refresh Twitter. First thing that pops up, it's like six different tweets of just random people I do not follow. Met Hogdale. Hogdale, so nice. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is crazy. Drive home, park, come in to watch the game, open Twitter, and Hogdale's just in the booth. I'm like, what? What has this day looked like, where this went from getting drinks and seeing a Sox game to just being a local celebrity, and then just being what was being in the booth like for you?
Oh, dude, it was surreal. Like, one, because like, just meeting Will Fleming. Because like, I'm a very ardent admirer of Will Fleming. I think he's like the best play-by-play guy in the game.
Taller than you.
He is. He makes me look tiny because he's fucking huge.
He's 6'7". I'm not going to say
6'7". You said.
Go away, Sammy. Hogdale, was that day? I'll say the trip as a whole. Was the trip as a whole overwhelming?
No, I will say I was more mentally prepared for it than I thought I was.
Good.
I mean, like, listen, like I said, Will Fleming is just the nicest guy ever. Mike Monaco, like, is rivaling him for the nicest guy ever, because I met both of them. It was awesome. I was there. I got to shake Joe Castiglione's hand. That was wonderful. So I never thought I'd ever get to, you know, be in his presence. I will say also, keeping on the trend of people being fans of me that I was unaware of, like, one of the producers pulled me aside and like, introduced me to like the entire like Red Sox social media team, and they were all like big fans.
Let's go.
They were very happy to see me, so that was really cool.
Sick.
I got one more Iowa question. What team do most people root for in Iowa? And I have a guess. My guess is Cubs. It's a minor league.
Yeah,
right?
Kinda. I mean, the thing is, it's pretty equally split for the most part. The Cubs probably have the biggest section. It's Cubs. It's Twins, and probably Cardinals is probably the third most. Yeah. And there's still Royals fans here too. Football, actually, it's Vikings. Weirdly enough, like there's like at least where I'm at, a lot of Viking fans.
Do you have any Red Sox fans out there? Because I used to live out of state. I lived on the West Coast for a few years, and I quickly found the other Boston people and would hang out with them for mostly for Patriots games because it was easier to make plans. But like, do you have a Red Sox group out there?
Not really. I mean, when I was in school, I was like the only Red Sox fan. There were a couple Patriot fans, but in terms of Red Sox, like they're really aren't much out here. Like, there's a couple.
Big fan. How do you become a big fan if there's not other people around there to enjoy it with?
Because I had my dad. It was I watched with my dad, or you know, I mean, like 2013 is like the team that like I fell in love with. I remember that was the first team I went out of my way to watch every game possible. When I was a kid too, it was tough because like we couldn't afford cable, so like I was only catching like an odd game here or there when I was at my grandparents' house. And it was only like really when I got older when I really became like a 162 guy. Like 2013, I remember, is like the first year I like really tried my hardest to watch as many games as possible. Like I just didn't leave my grandparents' house, basically.
So Hogdale, take us all the way back. What made you pick up a microphone for the first time? Like what made you want to get involved in this? Like what was your idea? Like tell us all about that. Because for me, it was a DM from Bradfo that he wanted me to come on his show to make a fake trade. Like we all have like these random beginning stories that got us into this. And I feel like for the three of us, it was all the same DM from Bradfo. But what was it? What was it for you? Like what made you do this for the first time?
I think it's like my entire life, I've known this is what I want to do. Like this is like, I've always wanted to, like my ideal dream scenario is I'm talking about sports in front of a microphone. It's just a matter of like the, like where I got to. I mean, 2020 is when I started podcasting. No, 2021 really is because like I was a very small Twitter account. Like I probably didn't even have like 400 followers at the time. And Bailey von Schneider, she was a former member of the Pesky Report. She discovered me, and then she told Brad, who ran the Pesky Report, about me. And he invited me on for a show, and then like he had me on once, and he's like, "Oh, you just want to do this all the time?" And I'm like, yeah. So yeah. I mean, I did that, and then I did Pesky Report for a couple years up until last year I moved on from that, did Pod by the River, and then I started streaming last year as well, and that's the thing that really blew me up. I mean, my first season, it's crazy. I mean, I ended my first season with like 200 followers on Twitch, which is nothing, and then this year it blew up crazy. Like I hit 1,000 followers like by the All-Star break. And then obviously now it's insane. I guess I can hardly believe that this is my life. Like every day is like that LeBron James meme where it's like, oh, I can't believe
you're in a hot tub. I got it. I feel like you can't really do the Hogdale origin story without asking about Ed. You said to me he was one of the first guys who believed in you. Can you kind of explain where Ed Hand, your friend, comes in this whole equation?
Yeah, Ed, because Ed came in not too long after I did on the Pesky Report. And like we eventually, because like the show kind of got splictioned. That's not a fucking word.
Splictioned.
Dumbass.
Yeah, it got splictioned.
Yeah. It gets splictioned. We got put on to like two separate shows, like the weekend show and the weekday show. And me and Ed were on the same show. And he was just always there encouraging me. He was always saying like, you know, you're such an unbelievable talent. You're going to make it. You just got to keep doing it. And he was always there for me. And then Ed split off from the Pesky Report. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing this without him. So I left with him. Then we created our own thing. And like, yeah, I mean, Ed's just always been there for me. He's just always been the guy in the corner saying you can do it and I believe in you. And it meant a lot for me. I mean, I love that guy. I'd kill for that guy.
I think one of the best parts about your rapid ascent once the Barstool thing happened, and we'll get to that, but one of the best parts about that was watching Ed's tweets as it was happening. Cause like the thing is, before anyone besides yourself, I feel like Ed was the first person like who had like a following, notoriety on Twitter, etc., that truly believed in you, and he knew from the jump that you had something special. And like, even though like obviously your life is your life, but getting to see him get that validation that like, yeah, I was fucking right about this guy. Like, I knew for a fact that he had that it factor, and getting to see him celebrate while you lived your dream that week was really cool to see. I love watching it.
I'm very lucky, because like, I got Ed, and Ed was the first person to like really be like, you know, I believe in you, and you can do it. And then eventually, like, Jared Garabas also became that guy for me as well. Like, we're out at, like, one day, I just remember, like, during the summer, he just, like, dropped me a follow on Twitter. And I'm like, what? I'm like, this guy knows who I am? Like, fucking, this is, like, the guy on Red Sox Twitter. Everyone knows Jared. And, like, he DM'd me. It's like, oh, hey, man, keep it up. And then, like, he asked me to, you know, be a voter on, like, the Clark SketchUp Series MVP role. When I was in Boston, like, they invited me to the Section 10 meet and greet. So I was there doing my own meet and greet at their meet and greet because they were nice enough to have me over. And George has been another guy where like, he's just always been like, dude, you're super talented. Like, just keep going. And it's just,
dude, it's
like,
so wild. You're like locally famous on basically the other side of the country. Like, that's so bizarre. Like, I love it. The internet.
It's hilarious. Like, yeah. Cause like fucking, no one can give a shit who I am over here. Obviously there's no Red Sox fans here. And yeah, I come over and it's like, I'm like, halfway towards a shitty local celebrity. It's just like, fuck, it's so weird. Like, just I'm getting recognized like left and right, and people like you know, enjoy. It's cool just to get the real life payoff of people enjoying what you put out.
So we talked about the whirlwind that was Boston, which probably seemed like a small nor'easter compared to the absolute tornado of the following days.
Dude, it was so ridiculous.
You leave Boston. Barstool does the game one stream with Mutt fights, etc. It's completely lackluster. And then all of a sudden, and you kind of talked about this year, you really blew up. People were quote tweeting you all the time. Dave Portnoy quote tweeted you. And then the wheels just went in motion. And then maybe an hour later, he's like, yeah, Hog Deal's coming out. He's going to join the stream. He's going to call it. And then you're just deployed by Barstool and your life's flipped upside down. What was that like in the moment? And what has it been like since then?
Give us like the initial Hogdale reaction of getting the DM.
Yeah.
No, dude, because I saw that Dave had retweeted me or whatever. And he did on Instagram too. Like, he DM'd me and like sent me that he had retweeted it. And I'm like, dude, that's so awesome that you retweeted me. I'm not going to lie. In the back of my mind, I was like, I think things are about to change. I think this is it. And then Dave is like, you know, like, hey, man, oh, don't know what your life's like, but you want to, you know, go down to New York and call these games for me. And I'm like, well, I have a job, but like, who cares? That's so meaningless in the grand scheme. Like, this is the opportunity of my life. Of course I'll go to New York. And I got on a plane like 6 hours later.
Dude, you know what was great? The picture of you when you got to the office and the Yankees guys look like they're like cowering in fear, and it looks like you're big dogging all of them when you arrive, like, my office now.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just have aura. I don't know.
It's like, the truth is like, they were just in shock at how nice you were, because I feel like with Red Sox personalities, they're used to getting like put in the mud.
Thing is to be fair, the person like me, when I'm calling games, I am an asshole. I'm not a nice person when I'm calling games, especially when the Sox are doing poorly. Like, to be honest, like, my most famous clips are like me putting out like the worst version of myself. And that's a real portion of me. And, you know, like, when people meet me like in real life or you talk to me in the DMs, I'd like to think I'm a pretty solid guy, a pretty chill fella.
Hogdale, you're a great dude, man.
So
that's the beauty, is when you get there and they ask you what you told work, what was the line that you said?
Oh, yeah, because I said, gotta go, dreams calling, which is, it was. I mean,
that's awesome.
I didn't expect them to give me a job. I had no idea that they were going to offer me a contract. I just knew, like, bare minimum, this is such a unfathomably large opportunity that, like, I have to go. And, like, yeah, as soon as I got there, they offered me a contract. It was awesome.
My favorite thing of that, like, whole just, like, 2-3 days, whatever it was, the video of you walking into Barstool HQ with Gaz, meeting everybody, and then you get to the corner and you meet Hubs, Tom, and Mush. And I believe Mush's exact quote is, I'm supposed to hate this guy. He's the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. Because you're like, oh, I help old people do like,
yeah,
I help older people do like their daily chores and living. And he's so mad that he can't hit you. But that's just like you in a nutshell. Like, everybody loves Hogdale and you are exceptional at what you do. You love what you do. And I think it's just, it speaks volumes that even people that you're just meeting that are supposed to hate you are like, oh, fuck, this guy's awesome.
It's crazy, man. Like, yeah, like I said, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, every day I wake up and like, don't have to worry about money anymore. Don't have to like go to some job that I despise. It's wonderful. It's just, it's everything I could have ever imagined.
So can you, like you said, you get there and they just give you a contract. What does that mean? Like, you literally just like get in the elevator. What if there's whatever, you walk out the door and they just, hey, here you go. Like, what was that like?
They, like, on that video they shot, they cut out like me first walking in, which, by the way, appreciate them doing that because the door was push only and I tried pulling it three times like a total moron. Looked like the biggest idiot on planet Earth.
Imagine that been if I sick broke it. If you,
but yeah, because at first like I thought Tim like, Robinson. Oh, well, they need to press a button to let me in, which they did have to do that, but it was a press a button and then push, not pull. So that was, and there was a thing that said push. I never felt like a bigger idiot in my entire life. So appreciate them cutting that out. But immediately after me making a complete ass of myself is, Gaz came and was like, oh, you know, here's this. And it was like a piece of paper. It's like an honorary contract. You know, it was like, you know, 1 year deal. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God.
Anyone seen that Tim Robinson sketch where he's leaving and he's like pulling the door, but it's a push, but he doesn't want to admit that he didn't know and he just breaks the door.
Grinds on the floor. Wow.
Interesting that he was leaving in that show. I think you should leave. That's crazy.
Hogdale. Right, so sorry. Back to the subject.
All right. I had to meet Tim Robinson. Anytime I could mention him in his show,
absolutely.
I have
to. He's wonderful.
That guy's. So what? Okay. When you got this honorary contract, and I know we're talking contracts, so if we're asking too much, please just tell us what was the feeling going through your mind and body, like when you were in the Barstool offices and they're handing you this contract and it's real life.
It's just pure elation, man. Like, dude, it's just, it was ever like when I got the text from Dave, everything felt so surreal. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, how do you describe the feeling of just like knowing that your life is just different now? Of like, your life was one way, like a couple hours ago, and now everything is different. Like, it's insane. Like, yeah, like, that's, they don't tell you how your brain is supposed to react. Like, when all your dreams come true and like all the good things happen, it's unbelievable. Like, it's an indescribable feeling. Like, just the pure joy and elation that you feel.
So since you've got back, like, obviously your life is completely different now. What do your days look like? Like, what are you doing with Barstool now? Like, tell us about everything you're involved in.
Well, recently, obviously, because, you know, there's no Red Sox baseball, gunshot, my God, I want to die. Like, I wake up every day, I'm like, okay, let me try to put a video out of some kind. I'll get a TikTok up. Recently, I've been cooking up a new Red Sox podcast because, you know, there's just not enough of them. Got to get another one going. You know, I'll have more announcements of that coming soon, but people are going to be really, 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 really excited.
Let's go.
Ooh, that's a good little scoop.
Yeah, a little teaser. But yeah, you know, cooking up a new pod. You know, I wrote an article, like a blog. I need to do that more because, you know, they pay me, so I should probably do things. other than that, I've just been streaming. I've been streaming the World Series. I've been streaming every Patriots game. And the Patriots streams have been going great. Thing is like, it is cool because I'm trying to get a foothold in the Patriots community now because, like, my base is Red Sox fans. I came up as a Red Sox fan. My core audience are Red Sox fans. So now, like, I'm just trying to break into that Patriot space and let everyone know, like, hey, I do this too.
How would you even, like, if the Pats were like they were the last couple of years, like, how about throwing Hogdale a bone and just being awesome out of the blue?
So thank God. Drake May, my beloved, every day. I worship at his altar because just a beautiful man. Mike Vrabel was pretty cool too.
Hogdale, if you're able to corner those two markets, that lines you up perfectly because it's like as the Pats start to pick up, Sox fade out, ideally with the World Series, and then the Pats get you to spring training, then spring training picks up. Like, that's those are the two markets you got to corner, and you're doing a phenomenal job at doing it.
It's been fun. The streams have been doing really well as well. I've been growing all my new social media platform. Dude, the Barstool boost that I got, like the second like that I was on those streams, it was crazy. Unbelievable. Because when I got there, I had 11,000 followers on Twitter. This year, I hit 10,000, and I was so happy because like that's a goal I've been working towards for a long time. By the time I leave there, I'm at 30,000. By the time I leave there, I just created my TikTok account and started posting like a month ago. And like it was at like 800 followers. Just like that, it's at 8,000 followers. And so was my Instagram. Yeah. Same deal. Yeah, and I just did 10,000 on my TikTok today, actually.
37.6 you're at. I'm checking your stats yeah. right now. That's pretty impressive.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy being a part of a company as big as Barstool. It's just, hey, and you know what? It's so organic the way it happened and the way you earned it. Like, it's impressive. I hope you're inspiring the next generation of young hogs.
Well, that's exactly. The beautiful thing about all of this is it just happened because like you didn't like shove your nose in people's business and like no shade to anyone who does that, who like pushes really, really, really hard to like force their way into the career that they want or whatever they want.
It's hard to get noticed. But it's the hardest part. So I get it.
But what the way you did it, just it really is as simple as you grab a mic and you do and you talk about what you're passionate about. And if you're good at it, good things will come. And you are good at it. So like it's not like this wouldn't have come to you if you weren't good at it and someone who people care about. Yeah, and you're not inauthentic. That's also the
case. I'm big on authenticity. Like it's that's what people can sniff out.
There are okay, because there are some people who do try to do a similar product to what you do, Hogdale, where they have these big reactions, and
you can tell
can kind of tell when they're like forcing it, and like, but with you, you're like flailing all around, like your eyes start to like pop. I'm like,
they dilate.
That's how he feels.
Yeah. No, I'm a brain merchant, like, because I'm pretty sure I'm like 90% sure I got undiagnosed ADHD. And like one of the things I've looked up with ADHD is just like you feel emotions very, very passionately, which describes me very, very to a T. Because like this is my base, like right here, where I'm just like pretty chill, hanging out. And then like, I just I respond to the stimuli in front of me. And like the Red Sox, like when they really make me want to die, like there's like, it's like a switch pops up in my brain. It tells me like, okay, it's time to be furious now. And like, outlet my emotions for a minute or two, and then I'm back to normal. It's hilarious. If people watch like my entire stream, it's funny because you could see the moment in my brain when like the switch clicks on and then when it turns back off.
I like when you post, or you or Barstool post still shots of you mid like screaming, where it just looks like
it's hilarious.
You look like you're in like a tornado or something, and you're like of rage or a real one. I don't know, but yeah, the authenticity, it shines through.
All right, Hogdale, before we get to some Sox talk, we do need to get this on the record here. I know you've told this story, but tell us here, how did you get the name Hogdale?
Yeah, that's purely my dad's creation. Not even really his creation. It's a jail guard in Missouri's creation. Because my uncle was, he had a bar fight, and he was in a jail cell in Missouri. My dad wanted to go bail him out. And he's like, oh, I'm here to pick up Jonathan Huckvale, which was my uncle. And the jail guard's like, Hogdale? Jonathan Hogdale, you're here to pick him up? It's like, and my dad thought that was the funniest thing ever, just the mispronunciation. So he just used that, like, for his brothers, so my uncles and me, like, and my brother forever. So he just calls every male member of the family Hogdale.
So there's multiple Hogdales.
How do you if you're all in a room? I wonder this because like you see, it was Rugnet Odor. Him and like all eight of his siblings are named Rugnet Odor, and I wonder how that works with them all in the same room. So maybe you can shed some light on this. Yeah. If you guys are all in the same room, what does your dad do?
I mean, it's just all about like eye contact, or like he's good at throwing his voice, so you can tell. It also does help. My uncles like really like never were around at the same time. I have a very turbulent family life on my dad's side, to keep it PG.
So, all right. So note to self, when walking past a hog pen, make eye contact with the hog.
Yes,
that is how,
exactly.
That is how you differentiate.
You know.
Socks.
Sox. Do it, Sammy.
I'm feeling socks.
Hogdale, do you like the socks?
I'm partial. I'm definitely partial to the socks.
Okay, that's new.
Red or white?
The White Sox guy, dude. What are you talking about?
He loves the Shy Sox. Iowa's closer to Chicago than it is to Massachusetts, no?
Yeah, by a lot. It's about
Illinois right next.
Yeah, imagine if I said no. It's like, wait a minute.
Like, look at Gordo. Gordo trying to play it off like that wasn't a legit question for a second. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
It's like I mean, I could lie. No one knows where Iowa is on a map. It's okay.
Earlier in the episode, I guessed that the Iowa people like the Cubs. So I did know.
No, because you know their minor league team is there, not because you know the location. Get out of here. All right. All right. Are we ready to talk some Sox? We have
some very
straightforward. I'll ask the first question. So in the offseason is when many teams add new players or subtract old.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Players, you're listening and you didn't know that. Welcome to the show. Hogdale, give me one hitter, whether it's a trade candidate or a free agent, that you want the Red Sox to get. I'm not talking about, like, I want them to trade for Shohei Ohtani. Like, give me a—
But I do.
Like, for sure. But a relatively realistic target for the Red Sox to acquire. Just talking hitters.
I mean, in terms of, like, what would make me the most happy, like, because, like, you could go to, like, they could go big game hunting. It's like, oh, if they got Kyle Tucker, I'd be thrilled. If they got Pete Alonso, I'd be thrilled. For my heart, I really want Kyle Schwarber back, man. He never should have left, like, just point blank. That the fact that they ever let him go. I remember at the time, the decision was like, oh, well, you know, if we pay Schwarber, then you got to move JD. Okay, then you move JD. There's no conversation here.
Yeah,
that's one of those things where I'm proud of my take at the time, where it's just like, unequivocally, what do you mean? Like, of course you bring back Schwarber, and you can right the wrongs of the past. He is at his peak value as of right now. He's better than he's ever been before. You already know he can swing it in Boston. There's a lot of people where you're just unsure because, like, this market is very tough on certain players. So, like, you know, Schwarber is a sure thing. He will mash here. Go get him. Although, like, there's multiple options that you can go with that I'd still be completely happy with.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is there, you're lucky to be in a spot where you need a masher. DH isn't open, but you have the ability to free up that spot.
And no, it's open. Why? What happened? It's also open. They need a masher. Why? What happened?
Yeah, what happened, Hogdale?
Did they used to have one? I didn't know about that.
They used to have two, and one died on the field, and the other one got traded to the Nationals, to the Giants, and now they don't have anyone who hits 30 home runs. And I keep saying they just need a guy to hit 30 home runs, and there's a guy that's a free agent that hit 56 of them. So, yeah, Hogdale, on our last show, we talked about it, like who's our favorite target, and all three of us, hitter-wise, said it was Kyle Schwarber. I feel like it's unanimous, even though, as you said it right there, Hogdale, like Kyle Tucker is the best player available on the market. But in terms of who do you want the Red Sox to get most, the cleanest fit, the guy that we've seen perform here, the guy who you don't have to give a decade contract to, it is Kyle Schwarber. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy to do. Like, Dave Dombrowski is going to have a word about that. But Kyle Schwarber, in my opinion, it should be the Red Sox primary target.
So I'm not going to tip the scale here. I'm not going to give you any background information. Just open book. What are your thoughts on the potential addition of like of Eugenio Suarez?
I wouldn't mind Eugenio Suarez. I think he'd be good. I don't know. Like, are we playing him third or are we playing him at first, though? That's the real question.
Ideally not playing him, period.
Bregman's at third, Hogdale. Bregman is at third.
I do feel like a Suarez signing, though. Like, to me, you only make that if, like, your big dollar investment is, like, another pitcher that you're either bringing in or that you're trading for. So, like, you know, like, I wouldn't be happy if, like, Suarez is, like, the big fish that you bring in. But if he's, like, a secondary piece after you've brought back Bregman and, say, traded for Joe Ryan or Hunter Green or Tarek Skubal, you know, whatever. But I wouldn't want him to be, like, the guy, like, the big bat. If he's, like, a piece among a bigger offseason, though, I wouldn't mind that.
That's the thing. It's like if they don't bring Bregman back and then Eugenio Suarez is there.
No, I'd be furious.
Like, we're okay. That's completely different story.
Yeah.
100% different story.
I don't even think we floated that hypothetical. If that does happen, this is a fact, I will play in traffic.
Yeah, Pat hates Suarez. Yeah. Hogdale. He hates Eugenio.
It'll be big bleach drinking hours to, you know, bring a throwback. I will say, because, like, with Suarez, like, I don't know. How do you guys feel about that, you know, that Japanese guy, free agent, Okamoto? Was it Okamoto?
I like Okamoto way more than Suarez. I think the contact plays, the strikeout, he doesn't strike out. He walks a lot.
Supposedly he pulls fly balls is like the only thing I care about. Righty. Pulls fly balls in Fenway. That's all I need.
At least average at the corners. Like, to me, that's way more valuable. I know, like, we're desperate for pop. But if you can get a guy who's hitting 280, 290, 20, 25 home runs, play at least decent defense, I would so much prefer that than Gino Suarez hitting 220 with 197 strikeouts.
Okamoto wouldn't be like the guy, but like if he's a guy among your other guys, I think that'd be a great signing.
Agreed.
Gordo?
My thing is, if you bring Bregman back and then you sign Okamoto, you still don't have a middle of the order 30 home run bat. If Okamoto does,
Kristen
Cassis,
baby, wrong again. Here, wait.
I hope you're right on. Listen, I am a huge Tristan Costa truther, but you don't go into this year with any certainty.
No, like, you can't rely on him. You can't book him in. It's the same reason why if they get a first baseman, it's completely understandable because he blew his knee out, and before that, like, he exploded his rib cage. At this rate, like, you can't count him down. So I don't understand that.
I'm more of a you need a long lineup, like the Blue Jays. I know Vlad has that potential, but he hit, what, 23 home runs this year? Barger.
That's the thing, though, is like next year, like, yeah, that's Roman. Roman is our Vlad. Like, he's that guy.
I agree with Gordo. Like, I would like them to add some pop, but and Schwarber's my number one guy, but I don't think it has to be him for the Red Sox to be a really friggin' good team. I like the Okamoto guy. His approach kind of reminds me of Alejandro Kirk a little bit, with a little more lift. So I don't know. I think he, and here's the cliche of all cliches, good swing for Fenway. So yeah, maybe.
Well, the thing is, it's true though. Like, we went multiple years where it was like Hunter Renfroe, Adam Duvall. Like, if you're telling me you can get like an Adam Duvall type, but like he's under contract for multiple years and like he's an infielder, like playing the corners, like, yeah, we need that.
Yeah. By the way, what a name. Kazuma. That's the most aura name I've ever heard. So yeah,
Big name theory guy, and I'm almost always right with it. It's crazy.
It's the jersey test too. You got to picture dudes in Red Sox hats, and if it doesn't look right in your mind, there's no chance it happens.
That was honestly my biggest thing with Dustin May. Like, I saw him like in a Red Sox hat, and I'm like, this guy looks like such a bozo jabroni Get him out of here. No way he'll be good here. And then he was the worst player I've ever seen.
Along those lines, I have a question. This is the legit concern I have. Kyle Tucker, great player, but for a superstar, not the most aura. Kind of plain Jane.
He's
a little
not
bit.
An
does
aura
that concern
guy.
You
he's
at all?
Like he's like the best version of a jack of all trades, though, because he does everything. And he does everything very well. I do agree. Like he's not when you think of like the face of a franchise. I don't think Kyle Tucker is the face of a franchise, but that's okay because right. We have one. His name is Roman Anthony. Like if he could just be like a really good guy to sit, you know, in the passenger seat right next to Roman as we drive to the promised land of a World Series. That's fine.
My thing with Tucker too is I either want the face. Well, I mean Roman's the face of the franchise, obviously, but like my secondary or big superstar, I either want like the Acuna, Tatis, J-Rod, like flashy aura, like all this stuff, or I want like the Mike Trout, just like silent assassin. Tucker is more in that like silent assassin window where won't say much, makes great plays, and he just produces, and just doesn't say anything. I want one of them in like those two kind of like brackets. That's why like, and then going back, Hogdale, to what you said, like the name theory. Anthony Rendon was always going to suck ass. Anthony Rendon was always going to be ass, dude. If he just was.
He looks terrible. Like, honestly, the jersey throwing thing is valid, too, because I saw him in an Angels uniform. Like, he's not an Angel. Like, what are we talking about?
No one looks good.
By the way, can I just say, like, with the conversations, like, we're having, like, I was just, like, when I was just mentioning, you know, like, this, the passenger side, you know, guy doesn't say much. They really could have just, like, figured out Rafi and held on, huh? Because, like, Roman is here now, and he will be the face of the franchise going forward. All, like, those things they were asking Rafi to do going forward, it's like, yeah, you could just give those to Roman, and he'll just oblige because like he's a dream to work with.
I feel like a lot of people are scared to have the Rafael Devers conversation because for a while it was, look at Devers, he's struggling in San Francisco. They've lost all these games since the trade. The Red Sox have won all these games since the trade, and look, they're making and they made the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, the truth is you look at exactly what the Red Sox need right now, DH or first base, it's 30 to 40 home runs, like a middle of the order bat. They have money to spend. It's like he's everything they need. And it's just if you'd handled that situation better and you didn't have to trade him, like, oh my God, how much easier would this offseason be?
Dude, if Rafi's here, like I was saying, like the Red Sox are a Rafael Devers away from being in the ALCS bare minimum. They would have beat the Yankees if Rafi was here. You think
Hicks.
You think Cam Schlitt we wouldn't have Jordan.
You don't have Jordan Hicks.
I want to die. Like, you think that Cam Schlitter is blowing like high middle fastballs by Rafael Devers in the playoffs? Like, no, he's not.
No,
he's not. He's sending them into Saturn. Like, it's.
Looking back on it, I think it's pretty straightforward. I hated how Devers handled the situation. Yeah, the Red Sox.
He handled like a baby.
Poorly.
Like, I completely get that. That's true.
Handled it like a baby. I hated that. Red Sox hated it. The trade was completely shameful. It never should have happened, but it already happened, and the Red Sox seem like they'd be better off with him, but they seem like they're bouncing back fine. Now you got to replace him. That's how I look at it. I don't lament it all day long like a lot of people do. I hate it, and I will never say I like the Rafael Devers trade. It was awful, and again, shameful is the word that I use for it. But it's over, and I feel like people just harp on it.
No, so because they will, and like you
spend
should
spend the money.
People still harp on Mookie, and they should, because Mookie's going to go into the Hall of Fame with a Dodger cap, and it's going to make me sick.
Spend the money, and then and continue your growth, your development as a team, and it doesn't
go
have to
win
be
a World
about.
Series, and we'll shut up. How about that?
So sure. my thing with the whole Devers thing is like in the moment, like I think we're on the same page. We completely understand why they made that trade, why they felt like they had to make that trade, whatever. The thing that sucks, and it's unfortunately going to be a lot like the Mookie situation, is Rafi's under contract for 10 more years, whatever it is. That is going to be completely kept looking at retrospectively. The thing that really sucks is the guy that you basically traded him to accommodate for might have only been here for 1 year. That's even added why Bregman,
if Bregman walks,
to be
it really
here.
Is the largest disaster you could ever possibly imagine.
F minus communication, handling, trade, return, what you did with James Tibbs to get Dustin May, fuck off. That is like such like a forgotten thing, is like if this is something that you accommodated Bregman by trading Rafi and Bregman's here for 1 year, it looks 1,000 times worse down the road. And it will be looked at down the road.
That's why I don't think it's going to happen, though. Like, he's going to, like, they have to keep him for so many reasons. And, yes. And right there on the surface, you just said it. If Alex Bregman leaves, the first thing people are going to point to is the Rafael Devers trade. And it doesn't matter if they spend the money at that point, because it's like, you moved him off third base to accommodate this dude who played third base for you in a season where, let's be honest, they probably were never winning the World Series. It would be a tough sell. I don't care who you bring in. Even if you bring in Kyle Tucker, it's a tough sell, in my opinion.
I will say that I literally just completely lost my train of thought. That's hilarious.
I don't think at all.
Hopefully I'll get it back in a second. Hilarious. Gotta love it. With Bregman, the thing is with him is where, okay, I got it back. There's 0%. They're not going to let him walk. And also, can I say that, like, I just think it's funny that he's pretending like he's going to, because he's going to get his money. I saw, like, a report the other day that, like, the Royals were saying, like, oh yeah, we're interested in him. He didn't want to go to Detroit. If he didn't want to go to Detroit, his ass is not going to Kansas fucking City. Be serious.
Oh my God.
So we talked about it last episode, because, like, you have the, again, I am not going to name names, but, like, the reporters out there who just throw out rumors, Jim Bowden, John Heyman, they linked Kansas City and Detroit, and it's like they must feel like blah, blah, blah. QO attached to Bregman, a year younger, coming off a fully healthy season. They offered him the highest years and money. He said no. In what world, a year older, injury season, A, are they going to give him the same exact contract? B, feel better about their odds? Like, nothing about Kansas City or Detroit, which seem to be the two big ones. People are throwing out Philly, which I just don't see. But, like, those two, in what world would he ever leave a ballpark built for him in a winning environment built for him for one of those two teams? It's not going to happen.
Pat, when you look at Philly, like, the Red Sox just make too much sense.
Yeah.
You're burying the lead. The Tigers might trade Tarek Skubal. He's not going
that,
there.
That
if they trade, yeah, if he thinks Tarek Skubal's gone in a year, you're not going to win there. You're just not.
That's a good point.
The Tigers are shameful, man. Absolutely shameful.
They're not going to trade Skubal. Come on. I mean, if they were bad, sure. But they're not going to. Like, we did a Who Says No with Bradfo.
Whoa. They're absolutely trading.
Pat, I'll bet you $5 American.
Oh, I'll take that.
The freest $5. Dude, like, do you know, like, who the owner of the Detroit Tiger is? Tigers are?
I just think he's going to hang on to him. It's Chris
Ellich. Like, this dude is a, like, notorious cheap ass. Like, he's not his dad, if he was still around, would be sick, because Mike Ilitch would give whatever necessary to secure Tarek Skubal. Like,
here's what I think will happen. Everything you said is true, Hogdale. I agree. But the Tigers are good. I think they're going to hang on to Skubal for 2026 and then let him walk. I think they'll keep him, let his contract run out, be like, we could really win here.
But still,
that's what I think they'll do.
But still, if you're Alex Bregman, can you sign on for the rest of your career with a team that success hinges so much on one dude with his future uncertain? In my opinion, it was the same reason that players weren't gung ho. Thank you, Hogdale. We're not gung ho on signing with the Blue Jays last offseason, in part because Vlad and Bo had 1 year left. If Vlad had that extension signed before, maybe it's a different story.
If Bregman signed in Detroit, like, with a Tarek Skubal-less Detroit Tigers team, like, that's like Chris Bryant signing with the Rockies level kind of, like, area. Oh, where you're securing a bag and the rest of your career you're doing nothing.
But he's already shown he doesn't want to do it. Like, that's the other thing. It's like he's tipped his hand. Last year, like, we know what you want.
Yep.
That's what I want. I want Gino Suarez to do that. I want him to sign with the Rockies and just try to get to, like, 500 home
Gino
runs.
Gino Suarez, but never. That is big, like, random Rockies signing energy. That is so true.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
All right. Can I ask the second question?
Yeah, do the second question.
Okay. You're not going to see this one coming, Hogdale.
Uh-oh.
Give us one pitcher you want the Red Sox to acquire, be it free agent or trade. And again, actually, there's nobody who's really unrealistic. So,
because the depth of these limits.
Jordan Lyles is off limits.
No. Jordan Lyles is on limits.
He is on the board. The depth that poverty teams will sink to, you'll never know.
Like, Johan Ramirez off limits.
Like, I don't know, man. Like the rumors coming out that like the Reds like are willing to deal Hunter Green like for position players. If there's something that the Red Sox have, they got a lot of position players, like prospects and major leaguers. And if he's even semi-realistic, go get Hunter Green, please. And again, this is the same situation where there's plenty of avenues that the Red Sox can do to make the correct move. Because you could substitute his name for Joe Ryan or like Michael King. If you're a Dylan Cease kind of guy, maybe you're a Dylan Cease kind of guy. But like for me, like I want talent, and like I can't even like Andrew Bailey like just would be creaming himself like if he saw that Hunter Green was a Boston Red Sox.
Bailey's cream. Sorry, I had to.
Hogdale has the same two as me for hitter and pitcher. We're ball knowers.
I want talent, same. Man. I want talent. Yeah.
So I agree. I think there's two guys that I'm really like really honed in on. Again, Hunter Green, because the Reds are a team that are like on that fringe of like kind of maybe perennial playoff team. So they're more in a win now. That's a team that you can send a Duran or whoever and fix your big league roster crunch and then also offload some prospects you don't need for Hunter Green. The other guy who I don't even know if he's officially available, there were some rumblings, but in that same bucket of like solving your own jams on the roster, Freddy Peralta is the other guy who I like
Freddy Peralta a lot. That's also, I would be very happy with that.
The only difference is he's a rental. If he wasn't a rental, if he were 4 years and Hunter Green were 4 years, I'd feel almost as good about Peralta as I do about Green.
Can I also say under the hood signing, like, or just lower radar that the Red Sox should be all in on is find a way to like make Brandon Woodruff a Boston Red Sox. He's so good. He is so good. Like when he is on the field, he is one of the best pitchers in the league. And like he's had a couple health problems the past couple years, but with that upside and like the price probably won't be crazy. Like, dude, if you can get Brandon Woodruff in there.
Hogdale, then let me ask you this. If Brandon Woodruff is the number two starter, they don't get Woodruff and someone else. It's just Brandon Woodruff. Is that good enough for you?
It'd have to be Woodruff and like Schwarber. Like if it's just Woodruff and nothing else, I'd be furious.
No, just for the pitching staff. They'll still get a hitter. But
if you're guaranteeing me they still get a hitter, then yes, I think that would be fine. I'd still be happy.
Question for Pat. Pat, Woodruff had, what's it called? The Jurassic Park injury? Thoracic outlet.
Yeah.
Thoracic outlet.
Did he have that?
I
thought he had Tommy John.
Oh, I thought he had thoracic outlet.
You could be right. I don't.
Hold on. We're going to the booth. We got to.
Booth reveal. Yeah.
He had shoulder surgery to repair an anterior capsule tear.
Okay. Ooh, 0-2. What those the hell are words. Is that?
Yeah. We all. We are.
Pat,
do we want a little breakdown?
Give the layman's explanation.
Is it better or worse than Tommy John?
It's much different. I don't know if I'd say better or worse. So basically, sit down, kids. Welcome to class. So your glenoid cavity is right here. It's basically the cup that your humerus sits in. So when you throw, coming up and externally rotating like this stresses the anterior, the front capsule here. So if you have laxity or tear in the front, your humerus, your upper arm bone, physically does not stay in. Like you kind of can subluxate, you can dislocate, you can tear stuff. So they just go in, reinforce the front of the joint to keep it in. So when he does go up in that pitching motion, he has some stability. So long-term outlook, I mean, he looked great in 12 games this year, so I'm not super worried about it. And then Tommy John, I mean, the
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Prognosis on Tommy John now. It's so good that I don't really bat an eye at it.
Did he pitch in the playoffs? Woodruff? Didn't he miss the playoffs?
I believe he
came
had,
out of the bullpen, didn't he?
I thought he had a lat strain, no?
Yeah, see, okay, I would be cool with Woodruff in the same way I'd be cool with Giolito if he's like your four. I don't know if I'd like him as the two. That's a little too risky for me.
I think I put Woodruff in a tier over Giolito. The guy I compare him to a little bit here is Shane Bieber.
Yeah.
Yes. I think he's the same tier as Shane Bieber, 100%. Dude, look at Woodruff's prime. Like what he was doing, man. He's like was putting up Cy Young caliber numbers. But problem is he was next to Corbin Burns for all those years. Yeah. So
Woodruff
he was getting overshadowed.
He did not pitch in the playoffs this year, just to clarify. He pitched in 18, 19, 20, and 21 in the playoffs, but not this year.
I like Brandon.
See, that
Woodruff
scares the crap out of me. That's scary. And I think Giolito's on that same tier. He's a guy who's gotten Cy Young votes a few times. Like, I don't know, 200 Ks. Like, I don't know. I think people underrate Giolito because when he was in his prime, it was like 6 years ago and people forget.
You're underrating Woodruff. 2.56 ERA in 180 innings with a 2.96.
Yeah, you're under. Yeah. Woodruff was so overshadowed. Woodruff, I wanted him. So last he was a free agent. He got hurt, got surgery. I wanted them to do like the rehab contract with Woodruff 2 years ago.
Yep.
Then the Brewers signed him, I think it was like 2 years, $20 million or something like that. So he did a rehab year, and then he came back this year. 12 games, had a 3-2. Stuff still looked good. He's had the lat injury.
Dude, there's no way that you could say Woodruff's career is better than – he's never pitched 180 innings. He's only gone over 150 innings twice.
That is
no way.
You were about to say 180 when he went 179.1. That is the most diabolical narrative ball I have ever seen in my entire life.
I love stats.
Are you serious?
Do whatever you want with him. You could literally do anything
Okay, I'll switch it.
That's
he's
crazy.
Only gone over – been in the league for 8 years. He's gone over 150 innings twice. There you go. That's
Hell
fair.
Yeah.
I give him credit for
that.
But you know, his peak was very impressive. I'll give him that. It's just
I don't know. There are more slam. Like I said, obviously I'd prefer Hunter Green. Like hit Hunter Green, obviously. But like I don't know. I'm just saying I like Brandon Woodruff. I just want an excuse to like gush about him for a
Sammy,
little bit.
Sammy, if you wanted to shit on Brandon Woodruff, you could have said he only made the hashtag 30 start boys team once.
Oh god.
Yeah, there you go.
Boys.
No, I don't dislike Woodruff.
Yeah, look what that did to Carter Crawford. He died because of that.
It's true. 30 starts and he has not been seen since.
I don't know why that just killed me. Hogdale just permission to gush. Talking about
Hogdale, controversial one. What are your thoughts on Framber?
Framber's very good. I know like his under the hood stuff looked a bit you know, suspicious like this last year, but like in terms of like actual output over the past 5 years, like you probably can't find 10 better starters in the league than Framber Valdez. Mm-hmm. I don't, like people have soured on him because of that thing where like he intentionally crossed up his catcher, which I think is valid because what is wrong with you? Who does that to their own teammate? Because you're throwing a little baby hissy fit. But in terms of pure talent level, if they signed Framber, I'd still be very happy.
Yeah, like you couldn't make an argument that Framber Valdez is not good enough to be a number two. That said, he's, what is he? He's 31 entering his age 32 season and obviously had that issue is not a small feat. Like I remember when Eduardo Rodriguez was a free agent after the Tigers season and he was getting knocked because he didn't accept a trade to the Dodgers. Like teams thought that reflected badly on him that he didn't want to go to the Dodgers and win a World Series. If they thought that about him at that time, what are they going to think about Framber here?
Yeah.
My thing with the free agents is like there's no – feels like every year there's a couple of guys who are like locked in, stud, 100% hit rate. There's like this is kind of like a mixed bag. Like Gallen had a terrible year. Cease didn't have a great year. One guy that I'm not necessarily keen on, I don't know if I'd be fine with them signing him, I guess. But like Ranger Suarez, like he's another guy who – like the proof is in the pudding there, but he doesn't throw hard. His off speed's good. Doesn't really strike out the world. He like there's just guys that it doesn't seem as clean of a fit as 90% of the guys on the trade block.
Well, because the trade block is the young dynamos. Like that's where the most electric arms are. Because teams are getting smarter nowadays. Where if you have a young stud, you lock them up when they're a child, so you can pay them $12.50 an hour. Like you
capture them. As
yeah,
a
you.
Child.
All you need to do is take advantage of child labor. Craig Breslow did a masterful job of that this year. Like the number that he got Roman to is $15 an hour in terms of Major League Baseball money. Like genuinely, it's nothing. People are already complaining about Campbell's contract in the same way they were complaining about. Remember when people couldn't stop complaining about Sadon's contract? Yeah. It took one year later.
I was in that camp.
It was exactly 1 year later where he's like a borderline a 5-war player and he's making $7.25 an hour. Like
Brian Bayo makes like $7 million a year. He has
and people were like, yeah, and it's like, dude, this guy could become like the 50th percentile outcome of what you think he is, and he's still well worth the money.
They're like, seriously?
But it's not like they're taking advantage of these players. Though I don't want like people to be listening and think we're like take advantage of the player. They're removing the risk for these players too. Like a guy like Christian Campbell, you know, started off hot. He got the $60 million. Everyone's like, why would you take that? And then he fizzles out, and you're like, oh well. Hey, even if it doesn't work out for him, he's got $60 million now. It's so,
no, like listen,
I do think it's a win-win for.
There
everyone.
Is front end security, but if you fulfill your talent, it is taking advantage of them because you're taking advantage of they are young and they haven't proven it yet. But like you're locking them up because you're 90% sure they're going to prove it. Like you think that like what the Braves locked up Ronald Acuña to a couple of years ago wasn't straight up exploitation? Like let's be serious.
It was, but at the same time, even though you're exploiting these guys, it's.
No, it's on them, like, and their agent for getting exploited. Like, they played the game. I agree with that.
You still have life-changing generational wealth that'll keep your family rich for centuries, probably to come. So, like, yes, it is exploiting them in the sense that they could get multiple hundred millions of dollars more if they just wait around. But at the same time, like.
The best of the best
versions of exploitation than this,
like the best of the best players, like a Juan Soto, like he figured it out. Like, no, I'm not going to sign your, you know, garbage, you know, early contract. Remember like when the Nationals offered him like $400 million over like 15 years and he turned it down and everyone said, this guy is the biggest idiot, diva, egomaniac on planet Earth. No one is going to pay him that. He doubled it.
Can I give you an example?
$800 million.
But on the other end of that, you had Tristan Casas, who turned down a lot of money from the Red Sox, and now it's like, is he going to start the year in the minors to get right? So
I think the answer is yes to that. But yeah,
yeah. And Sammy brought up Christian Campbell, who you know obviously if the Red Sox could decide today, they probably wouldn't offer him that contract. So he's got generational wealth because he made the call then. So it works for some.
By the way, we should thank our lucky stars that Casas exploded his knee. Because that's why Roman took the contract, probably, because him and Cassis are friends. And like Cassis probably told him, dude, I regret not taking the money so much. You should lock yourself up and get some money.
All right, yeah, Hogdale.
$30 million.
Yeah. All right, we got to wrap it in a sec, but I want to give you the last word, Hogdale. I tell everyone where they can find you, what you're doing. I know we talked about it a little bit, what you're doing with Barstool, but plug everything that you're doing, all your new stuff, what your life is like. Like, just lay it all out there so people know where to find everything.
Yeah, I mean, just Twitter, which is my main social media platform. It's at Hogdale_. You can find me, I believe, just at Hogdale on Instagram and on YouTube, my YouTube channel and TikTok. And just stay tuned. Stay tuned. I got things in the woodwork, you know, on the docket, ready to announce very, very soon. It's going to be a very exciting time.
He's cooking. Keep an eye on Hogdale. Keep an eye on Barstool with everything Hogdale's doing over there. Again, just such a pleasure and a joy to watch you ascend the way you have. It's been so awesome because we've been Hogdale stands for a long time, and it's very cool to see everything that has happened. It's all super well deserved, and we appreciate you, brother, jumping on Play Tessie, making the PT debut today. Yep. So you rock, Hogdale. Thanks a million, man, and we'll have you on again at some point soon.
Absolutely, dude. It's a great time. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.